Minds. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We usually do a kind of a heads up on what's happening, but I'm going to kind of skip that today because we've hit that pretty heavy in the last two shows about what's happening on every level, energetic, political, everything. So we're going to skip that today, and because it's all kind of hanging in there. Nothing's really changed. No real big events happening. So other than the 16th, we did have that big energy wave come through. And I had a lot of people calling me, actually people that do a lot of counseling work for a lot of the younger folks. And they said that they're having all kinds of awakenings, spontaneous awakenings happening all around the 16th. So there definitely was a major wave of energy that came through. The there's so much going on right now. I think we've got a great guest coming up. We've got a few things coming up too. Be sure and check out the wait a second. We've got the it's on. It's up now. I just checking on it. Check out the new movie. Contact Has Begun too. It's up on the website. I had to double check that because we were having problems with it. So it's up on in the at eastedi.org. It's also on YouTube now. So Contact Has Begun 2 is up, and it's getting some great reviews. And we just launched it actually yesterday. So that's out. So be sure and check that out. So anyway, we've got it's funny, I've got her bio, but it's Carolyn Clapper, and she's got she was grown up in her bio here. She was grown up. She said, I saw spirits, had psychic experiences. However, it wasn't until my NDE with meningitis in 2011 that I experienced a bombshell transition into full-blown mediumship. My abilities were magnified by 100 folds or more, with the boundless ability to communicate between worlds. So she was miraculously healed on 11/11/11 and released from her deathbed. And though I had returned from the next world, my connection remained. After months of giving on spot readings to random strangers in public places, my name began to spread like wildfire. Mediumship took over my life until I finally decided to take it on. And she's the next world medium. She has a foot in this world and one foot in the next at all times. And she's an evidential and medical medium, and she's located people both deceased and alive, and has found illnesses or ailments in many, which have them all been validated and confirmed by medical doctors. So without any further ado, I want to bring Carolyn on the show. Are you with us?
Hi there. Here I am. How are you?
Hey, welcome to the show. It's funny.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, in your bio, I didn't have your name up here, and I believe it's Clapper, right?
Yeah, Carolyn Clapper is my name, the Next World Medium, so
okay.
I think you did great. Sorry for not including that in my bio there. That was my bad.
That's all right. I was just going from memory, and sometimes that doesn't always work. But,
you know what? I'm terrible with names sometimes, too, and it's funny because I'll get all the details of who, you know, someone is by how they look, how they passed, what they're wearing, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And sometimes the only thing that fails me is the name, which can be kind of important, you know what I mean? But generally people like that because, you know, they can identify, you know, their loved ones through all the information that's coming through instead. So name is important.
Yeah. What I know is people that are opened up to these other dimensions, and I know some people, I know one guy that has 9 PhDs, and he's a German biophysicist, and he doesn't remember my name half the time, and I work with him for 7
Well, think about how much stuff is in his head. He doesn't have room for that.
Exactly.
There's only so much room, you know? It's like there's only so much room on my phone, and then I have to get more memory. Wouldn't it be cool if we could just get memory chips and shove them up our nose or something and, you know, compartmentalize people's names and stuff? You know what's funny, though? I always remembered kids' names. Like, when I was a teacher, I always remembered all of the little kids, and there's so many of them, but they were so cute, and their personalities were so strong, you know, you can't forget, you know? But adults, it's just different. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I know so many people, and in this field, too, you know, sometimes, you know, you go to these conferences, and there's, you know, 2,500 people there, and and they expect you to remember them, and they, what's funny, the big giveaways, they say, oh, I've known Jim for years. Jim and I go way back. Well, I never used Jim. I've always been Jim ever since I was a little kid. And
that's so funny.
Yeah.
And oh, my gosh. If only they brought their dogs, right? Because you always remember the dog's name.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at least me. I always remember everybody's pet's names, too.
I used to not really have a problem when people died, you know, but with animals, it hit me even harder for some reason because, you know, I know people don't die, basically. They just, you know, change form, basically. And
that's so true.
Yeah, so the...
Life after life, certainly.
Yeah, people go, I lost my father, and I go, where's, how'd you lose him?
Where is he? Where'd he go?
It
makes sense. We have to have some kind of divide, you know, in order to heal, in order to continue forward. Without that physicality, I mean, we're a very physical world. So, you know, I mean, that's why I'm an evidential medium, is because I demand evidence, because we're a physical world. And being a medium doesn't mean I'm not a skeptic. And I'm a huge skeptic. Which sounds odd to some people. Like, how can you be a skeptic and be a medium? And it's like, well, because, you know, I agree with science. And I also know that there's an afterlife. You know what I mean? So the two can work together. They can coincide, you know?
Exactly.
They can, I mean, they mirror each other sometimes. They're definitely cohesive, especially with, like, medical mediumship. Oh, my gosh. Like, yeah, I mean, we have to start blending the two, and I think that's what I'm doing. I'm helping to bridge the gaps right now, and it's exciting. It's really exciting.
I agree. You know, you're mirroring me right now because I'm the same way. I'm very skeptical, but I hear I'm talking to like 13th dimensional beings, and so, but you know, we have the evidence. We have a lot of technology here because we use a lot of PIP technology, which is Harold Oldfield's technology that can actually film any changes in the fields, you know, when you're working with these beings. And we have photographs of like Babaji and Mary and Ezekiel and all the Kuan Yin and other beings actually appearing here. And we had the Taoist monk actually film and photograph these beings when they appeared.
Sure, so that's what you were talking to me about a little bit before. I mean, I don't personally have that stuff. I get more, you know, evidential, like as in, well, you know, I mean, I look for missing people, so I'm able to provide where they are, know, things like that. As far as photographs of paranormal activity or things like that, I'm not out searching for that or seeking it, per se. I'll tell you one time, though, since you're kind of fascinated with the kind of electronical or, you know, video footage or photographical footage and stuff like that. Some of the stuff that I get for that, you know, I don't seek it out. Like I said, I don't, you know, I'm not a ghost hunter or anything like that. I don't chase spirit because they're all around us. But one of the, there was a client that I had, and her daughter passed away, and it was actually really, really sad. Her daughter died, and within hours, literally within hours, I'm talking like a few hours, after she passed, I was contacted by a family member, and they didn't know if she had transitioned. They didn't know. I mean, they were freaking out, you know, of course. Mm-hmm. And she was, you know, very young, you know. She had passed in a car accident. And when they got in touch with me, I saw the entire accident happen, okay, like as though it was in real time. Mm-hmm. And I was able to give them information of how the accident happened. You know what I mean? And who was behind them driving, and, you know, when the girl's body was lifted, or when her soul was lifted from her body, you know, there's a lot of evidence. Like, I mean, I get pathology reports before they get them back from the hospital. I'm able to provide what spirit provides to me, and it's a lot. It's a lot of detail, a lot of evidence. And You know, I'm getting to a point here, but once with this particular girl, when I was talking to her mom took the phone and wanted to talk to me. She had known about me prior because I had done work for their family in the past. Well, I had never met her daughter, and I had never spoken to her, so I knew nothing about them. It was other family members I had worked with. And when the mom got on the phone, her daughter transitioned into what people would call heaven and what I call the next world while I was on the phone with her. And it was, oh my gosh, it was the most amazing. It was one of the most amazing readings I've given because I saw the transition happening. It's a beautiful story. I'm going to put it in my book. It's very long, so I'll try not to talk too much about it right now. But what was interesting is that this, I guess, rebirth that happened into the next world, her mother was hearing it in real time. And so she was there for her birth into this world and then there for her birth into the next world, okay? And it did help to give her peace and to, you know, to give her hope and a connection again, you know, because that's the worst thing that could happen to a parent is to lose a child. And some months went by. This wasn't too long ago. This was a little over a year ago. And some months went by, and then I get a phone call asking if I would be willing, because they were trying to capture things on, on a recording or whatever. So they wanted me to come over and just try and connect with her daughter again. And I agreed. I'm like, fine, I'll do it for you, you know. Let's see if we can get her voice on there and you can hear what I'm hearing. And when I went over there, it wasn't, you know, as professional as I normally am. I didn't go into the reading as I normally would. I sat down and I just started talking, and then I started getting information from her daughter. Mm-hmm. And she started talking about the car and how it was in, like, not an impound, but it was being held at the police station. And she is, you know, I'm translating what I'm, you know, hearing from her. And at one point, she was trying to tell me about a pair of shoes that her mom was looking for, you know. And she was talking about how they might be in the car or something like that. And she's talking about, you know, I'm just keeping up with her. Mm-hmm. And anyways, they get some stuff on record, just my voice, you know what I mean. And I go back home. And 3 hours later, I get a phone call, and they're freaking out. Oh, my God, Carolyn, we have your evidence. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Freaking out, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, what do you have? And she's like, you know, right before you are talking about the shoes, you can hear her daughter's voice say, shoes in car, right? So it's fragmented, yeah. But she could hear her daughter's voice, right? And so there are bits and pieces of this throughout. So it was really interesting. That's stuff that maybe you would get into. But, you know, I mean, I normally don't play around with it. A lot of times when people try to record me or even interview me, the equipment will completely fail. So we're lucky if this continues to work because it does bottom out or it'll start acting really goofy. I just I have a bad effect on electronics, I guess. Like sometimes we'll record a session and it'll come back with only their voice and not mine. It's just really strange. So there's a lot of that. But I'm interested in learning more about what you're talking about as well, with the photographs and stuff at some point. Like, it's pretty intriguing also.
Yeah, those were taken by guests that were here. There's a Taoist monk that was here, and he got most of the photos. And he does, like, you know, 21-day dark retreats in a cave. And then so he's a seer. He sees really clearly the other dimensions. And so he just takes a camera around with him and starts far and away, and I think his frequency too actually allows the other frequency to take shape. Like they're both in almost like a bubble, and he gets these amazing pictures when he's here. I'm curious about when you saw the transition. Were you seeing visions of the transition, and what did that look like if you did?
I did see visions of the transition. I know what you're talking about. It was more. You know, what I was seeing more of, I was experiencing her experience. It's as though I was watching her experience it. So I saw her looking around. I saw her eyes go doe, go doughy. What I mean by like a deer, you know, like it really large. And she was just hanging on with her eyes to the environment around her. And it was like she was absorbing it, you know, through every part of her being. Her senses were enhanced. I don't think that I could see the beauty that she was seeing because I'm not able to see that yet. You know, that's when we get over there. It's like I'm not even capable of that yet. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's like I'm experiencing it through her and she's explaining it to me. more so than me actually being in that space at that moment. I'm in the space with her, watching her, listening to her see it, but it's kind of like a stepping stone. Do you understand? So
yeah.
She's kind of explaining it to me. You know, I never want to give myself more credit than I deserve or embellish on things that shouldn't be embellished on. I think that happens a lot in this field. Like, people will embellish or say that they know more than they do, and we really need to. I'm somebody who really feels like it's necessary to take that fluff out of it, to really be very honest about it, you know, about what we are capable of seeing and kind of the limitations, because we do have limitations, and they're there for a reason. We're not meant to see all of that yet. You know, there's reasons for us being in this form. And there's reasons for us being restricted, you know, because we wouldn't have the human experience, you know, otherwise. We might as well just be there now, you know.
Yeah.
Come from there, we go back there. What would be the point in this life if we had the all-knowing here? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So sometimes I find it hard to believe that some people do have some of the experience they talk about. Not calling them liars. I'm just saying that some of it's a little bit...
Your integrity levels are very important.
Go up. What's that?
I said it's so important to maintain, you know, a high level of integrity. And actually, just say, I don't know. There's sometimes you just have
Trust
to say.
Trust me, I say that more than I say the other, my friend.
Yeah.
In fact, I used to, when I first came out of Freighter, after having two strains of meningitis and being healed and released on 11-11-11, I'd come out with this gift and this ability to see into the next world. I couldn't shut it off. I'm not going to say that I didn't want to, okay, because there's a lot of people in my world who are against it, who didn't want me to be doing it. And I felt very isolated. I felt very alone, you know. Some people now, they're embracing it more now, I think, a little bit, which is really good, but not when I was in that situation, when I came out, you know, per se. I guess I call it like my coming out. So before I came out, I was working at a bookstore. And every, you know, 10th, 15th person who came through the door would have somebody in spirit with them. And it was like a beckoning call. It's kind of like a knock at my door, you know. And sometimes it wasn't all that subtle, you know. Everybody has people with them, but it's like sometimes somebody really needs to get through and communicate something. And I was actually working. After my meningitis, I needed to get another job. I was going through a divorce. And I didn't have any clue where I was going to work. I'd been a stay-at-home mom. So I just was going by kind of signs or whatever. And they had a help wanted sign at the Family Christian Bookstore. So I started working there. So I'm working in an environment that you probably shouldn't be talking about mediumship. That's how I felt, right? And, yeah. And here, let me just tell you, I did not call myself a medium because I didn't watch the shows. I didn't read the books. I didn't label myself. Everyone else labeled me. So I just knew that I saw spirit and that I saw things that were outside of this world. You know what I mean? Out of this realm. And they were so pushy with me, I didn't really have any boundaries at that time. And it was so pushy that I couldn't reject them. I couldn't deny it. So, for instance, somebody would come in and I would feel drawn to them because they were wearing, this one woman, she had a red coat on, right? And it was wool, and she was just this beautiful woman, and she reminded me of my mother. So I approached her and I was just drawn to her to help her. I asked her if she needed some help finding anything. And she says, I'm looking for thank you cards. And all of a sudden, you know, for lack of a better term, I get a tap on my shoulder. And I'm like, oh boy, not now, not now. You know, I'm thinking not now. And I have this boy with me. He's 21. And, you know, he's kind of leaning over me and he's going, she's picking up thank you cards for my funeral. Ask her. Ask her. And I'm like, I'm not going to ask her that. I'm saying this in my head. I'm not going to ask her that. That's so weird. And he's like, just ask her, just ask her. And I'm like, so are you picking up thank you cards for your nephew's funeral? And she says, yeah, I am. And she didn't even question why I knew that, which is really weird, because I would have been like, how would you know that, right? But it's so funny how natural these things really are when we're not thinking about them, we're not putting too much thought into it. This is natural. So she's like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, well, let me help you. And I thought, well, isn't she going to ask how I knew? And she didn't. So finally, I kept saying these little things to her from him, and she didn't ever ask. And finally, I said, aren't you curious why I know this? When I'm a complete stranger. And she goes, you know, I was just thinking that. Like, how do you know this? And I go, thank God you asked me. I said, because I really want to tell you. And I said, you know, I see people that other people don't see. I said, I see people on the other side. If you had a message, would you want to hear it? If there's a message coming through to you, would you want to hear it? And she says, oh, my gosh, you're kidding me. You know, absolutely, yes. So once I would get that yes, it was like a flood of information. And for him, he starts telling me, I got shot. I'm like, where? Okay, I got shot in my head and shot in the side of my stomach. I was coming out of a bar. I was laying in the street. Somebody did CPR on me. Police were called. This is gang-related. But basically, you know, my death was treated. They didn't really follow up on it much because it was gang-related. So his death was kind of swept under the rug. It was dismissed in a way, which is really heartbreaking. Yeah. And he's telling her, it wasn't a sad reading completely, though. He's telling her about the funeral and, you know, what everybody was going to wear and how they were going to put him in a tux and how he doesn't ever dress like that. And, you know, he thought it was really funny. And he's just talking about all kinds of things. And it was so healing for her. And she was so happy to have that. So anyways, all these types of readings, all these people would come through, and I'd give readings to so many people in these situations, and that's how my name started to spread. It wasn't because I had business cards, and it wasn't because I was charging people or practicing or watching shows or trying to do this, learning it from the internet or whatever. It was I was doing it. And I lived in an area where people from all over come. I live by Mayfair in Milwaukee, which is really heavily trafficked. And, you know, people from all walks of life, people from Germany were tracking me down after they were in that area and got a reading from me. I had one lady track me down from Germany. She's like, everything that you said came true. I got pregnant. I moved to this area. All this stuff, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it just picked up speed, you know? It took off.
Yeah, word of mouth is always the best. And what I found out is that's, you know, I don't do any advertising or anything else. We have it on the website, you know, that we do transpersonal release sessions and help people clear and heal negative influences, things like that. But it's word of mouth is the one that works the best. And I've been doing this for like 30 years now, and so I'm ready to just go find a nice. Intentionally, I wanted to get a little cabin on a river and just fish and write my books and just do my own thing and not get involved. But I kept getting pushed, you know, more and more to.
Like, no, you know, and, you can't do that.
I know, and I still there's a now I want to find a beach that I can take my out and catch a fish and one day.
Fish seem to be a continuing theme with you.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? You just like fishing?
Well, no. I love swimming. I love warm water, oceans.
So do I.
And so it's like and it's through the whole year here. You know, they had me doing like 9 clearings a day sometimes, and I was getting so burnt. It was insane. And I said, I can't do this anymore. It's even my health was kind of going down. Finally, I just said, I'm done. I'm only going to do 2 or 3 a day, and that's it. And I'm going to have some meat.
That's still a lot. 2 or 3 clearings a day is a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And people don't realize how much it takes, how much energy it takes out of you to do these type of clearings. So,
right. A lot of people don't because there's clearings and there's clearings.
Yeah.
You know? There's clearings where everybody can take a lot of sage and they can swish it around and that can be a clearing, but it's not really a clearing. But when you do have that intent and you're really putting your energy forward and you're doing it the right way, and, I mean, absolutely that's draining. I mean, yeah, for sure.
So I'm working on.
I totally get it. I only do, you know, people don't know this. They probably think, oh, why can't she fit me in sooner or something for a reading? But I only do one reading a day. Now, that one reading could be a family reading or a group reading. I mean, yeah. You know, but I only do one reading a day by choice because it drains me. And I'll get sick if I do so many because I go in so deep. I've had people who are in the field that go, you know, Carolyn, you don't have to give them so much information. And it kind of stuns me. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, so I'm supposed to hold back all the information coming through and cherry pick it? No.
Yeah.
Like, no, you should be giving them more information. Like, this is the point in this, right? Like, get it all out. You know?
Exactly.
Put it all out. But it
is you
got to
go 100%. You know, I go
100%. That's what I think. Yeah.
So it's, you know, I don't want to, like, when we do things, we take people through trauma, childhood trauma, past life trauma. We go into other dementias as well, you know, and otherworldly things and look at that and clear that out. And it's very thorough. It's very intense. And they get this huge opening.
So what is this? Is this kind of like, do you do kind of like Reiki work as well?
No. Well, it's what happens over the years. I did a lot of studies with Tibetan masters and I went through the teachings, mm-hmm. of the inner Christ and all that stuff. And so what I learned is process-oriented therapy. I kept looking into every kind of process-oriented therapy out there, and mm-hmm. I found this system that worked very quickly, very fast. It's like using 220 energy. It's like a lot. And you can actually feel the energy come into the room and the people's bodies pixelate into light. Mm-hmm. And that's
very
when you
cool.
feel things very quickly, very gracefully.
I believe it. I mean, there was, when I was in the hospital bed, you know, people, when I tell the story to people of what happened, when they inquire about it, you know, at first it was hard to find the words for it because I'm going, well, you know, when I stepped over into the next world, I stood before a committee of 30 people,
mm-hmm.
approximately 30.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was standing there, there was a speaker. This is what's interesting. There was a speaker. And she had this silver hair. She was really beautiful. They all were dressed. They didn't have any wings or anything that I saw.
Yes.
But they were dressed in kind of like what would look like to us, like white linen clothes, you know, mm-hmm. just something very light. And, you know, she spoke with the person next to her and then looked back at me. I had a moment to speak, and I asked to stay for my son. I just said, please let me stay for my son, very matter of fact. And she spoke to the person next to her. I could not hear what she was saying. And then she turned back to me, and without moving her mouth, she spoke to me, so like telepathically.
Uh-huh.
And she said, yes, if you do this work for us. And I said, yes. It was just so a matter of fact. I was just like, yes, I will. Didn't know what I was agreeing to at all. Okay, uh-huh. Let's just throw that out there. I was just like, uh-huh, whatever I need to do to stay for my kid, right? Yep, I'm doing that. So all of a sudden, they blended together. It was like swirling. They were just swirling together. They blended together into a huge white light and then went through my feet, up through my legs, into my core, through my chest, out through my head, and I was healed. I was completely well. I mean, this is after having a heart stent in. My heartbeat was 31 beats a minute. I couldn't speak very well. I mean, when I went in there, I was speaking like alphabet soup. Couldn't understand mm-hmm. anything. I mean, I shouldn't even be here. And you're talking about this being able to see and witness this energy come in, you know, and out. And mm-hmm. I have had a huge, huge experience with energy coming in and out of me. And prior to that, I did massage therapy. And even then, you know, of course, I was working with energy as well, and you've got to ground yourself
mm-hmm.
and root, you know, your chakras, root your feet, and make sure that, you know, in order to stay well and to stay clean and not take on anybody else's energy, what I would do is I would pull energy from the earth and give the earth energy through my hands to people, not my own. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So when you learn how to guide energy, you learn how to, you know, manipulate your own energy to guide the energy that's around us. You know what I mean? And it's all very real, you know, and it's really cool that you're capturing that. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, after I do the clearings, I usually take my shoes off and walk on. The ground here is so energized. I use that.
Oh, I bet.
ground the energy and usually eat something, take a nap, and that helps ground me again. But I'm definitely going to pull back on that. I'm definitely not going to do that many.
Do you believe in earthing? You know, I've always had bare feet. You know what I mean? Yeah. I never wear shoes. I hate shoes. I don't even understand people who collect shoes. I think it's so weird because I'm like, get my shoes away from me. But anyways, so I've always been an earther or whatever they call them now, right? Like earthing. So do you believe in earthing, like sticking your feet in the ground and like feeling the ground beneath you and absorbing the energy or what?
Oh, definitely. And also working in the gardens is really important.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Down on all fours.
Now and, you're speaking my language.
Yeah, and things like that. I need to do that. If I don't do that, I feel like I'm missing something.
Yes, isn't it so good? And just growing, like planting seeds and seeing mm-hmm. things grow in the plant rather than just taking everything away from it, depleting it. Doesn't it feel good to give back?
Oh, yeah.
And then to take that, I mean, I don't know if you do vegetable gardens, but I do it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Food from your own garden, isn't it so good? It's like soul food, right?
Oh, yeah. We have
feels good.
Big gardens here. We have gardens all around all the structures. There's gardens going on. And it's funny, like, I grow tons of stuff, and I hardly get to eat much of it myself.
That's how I was. I would give it away to my neighbors. I'm like, all right, who want? Oh, you know what the biggest, like, the people liked the most in my neighborhood were these little tiny golden tomatoes. You know, like they're like the little cherry ones, but they're
yeah.
gold or yellow, and they're so sweet, they're like candy. And oh my gosh, everybody was like crazed for them. They would never go grow them themselves, you know what I mean? They're like,
yeah.
Carolyn's going to hook us up this year, like we're going to get buckets of these tomatoes. And they grow
like
wildfire.
We have not a real long growing season because we're at 2,000 feet. We're right at the base of Mount Adams. And
okay.
We don't have snow right now. We did have some snow, but it melted off already.
But yes,
we kind of, yeah. So, but it is kind of hard to walk around in bare feet, you know.
Oh, man, it is. But I just walked out here. We're cold here. I mean, I'm in Wisconsin, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's like the tundra, like little Alaska, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll run out there with the dog to let her pee. I'm too lazy to put shoes on, so I'll just run out there in the snow. I'm, like, freezing my butt off, and it kind of feels good in a really weird way. It's awful. It's painful, but it feels good.
I do that, too. I'll walk out barefoot. I just feel I got to get grounded, you know, and I'll take
See? That's what I'm saying. You're like, okay, I'm going to do it. And you're like, why did I do this? I'm always out there while she's going to the bathroom. I'm like, okay, wait, maybe this was a really bad move. But then I do it again the next day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
I like what Chief Seattle said. You know, he said when you take a man out of nature, you harden his heart, and I think that's one of the main problems is people are not tied into the planet,
thing.
You know, and not connected, and they get in these
so
cubicles. You know, they have a little cubicle. They go from the cubicle,
yeah.
They go home, they flip on their giant TV, and they watch football games and drink beer and pizza, and you go, well, God, no wonder. No.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I grew up, you know, when I was a hippie girl, you know, everybody was like, they call me a hippie and I get offended for some reason. I don't know. But I'm a musician and, you know, I love being outside. And so all my friends as a little kid, you know, we'd run out and you know, sneak through old man shotguns, you know, backyard.
Yeah.
We had names for everybody around there because, you know, we have farmland and stuff around here.
Uh-huh.
And we'd go out to the forest and go to these quarries and go skinny dipping. And, you know, we would sit around the campfire and play bongos and congas and, you know, guitars. And, you know, we just had so much fun. And there was so much. We were outside more than we were ever inside. I mean, I remember traveling out west and, like, you know, just sleeping under the stars, literally, I just wouldn't even put up my tent sometimes. Like, if it was real beautiful in Arizona or Colorado or something and the stars were out, it's like, I'd just say, skip the tent, you know? And I would just sleep under the stars on the ground. Oh, yeah.
Well, you'll see about 50 UFOs if you do that. It's like...
There's so many UFOs.
Yeah, and then you've got the inner earth and you've got the nature spirits running around here. And it's a little bit of everything. Bigfoot cruises through now and then. It's kind of hilarious. But it's like a, you know, if you're...
There's a lot of Bigfoots now, right? There's all these Yeti dudes running around because it's like the hipster generation.
Yeah,
maybe that's
what
they're seeing out there. Is some big hipster.
Uh-huh. They'll never find it. What's really funny. Yeah, I see these guys going out there with all this gear and equipment, and they're knocking on boards and hollering and stuff like that. And I said, you know, if you go out there and meditate, and play a flute with the intention of hooking up with one. That's how you do it. It's
call them in with the flute like cattle or something.
Well, the Native Americans, what they say is that if you go searching for Bigfoot, you'll never find it. But if Bigfoot wants to find you, it will. And, cause they're extremely sensitive. And we have a young one that comes through here a lot, freaks people out sometimes, but, we put apples up for them and jars. They love peanut butter.
You know, for Bigfoot? Like
yeah.
This just got real weird. I'm just kidding.
No.
I thought I was the weird one on this show today. But this just took a whole new turn. I'm all intrigued about this now.
Yeah, you got to... if you came out here, you'd have your own sighting. And then it's real for you. But you know, I went out there... I'm like a show me kind of person. I'm very skeptical until I see something, and I've seen things that I won't even talk about because people just aren't ready for it. But the thing about the Bigfoot here is we've had so many witnesses, and you know, hundreds of people have come here and they've seen him. And we have a young one here that's kind of he's a juvenile, and he's kind of a trick. He likes to play around with people, and he'll run right up and you'll see him, and then he'll run off and disappear, and then he runs right through the brush, and it's really thick, and it doesn't even move. It's they have a interdimensional quality to them. It's really interesting watching
them.
But
interesting. So, what is your take on that? So, what do you think it's? Let me just ask you something.
Sure.
Since you're talking about Bigfoot here and like baby Bigfoot and stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So little junior Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think that he's from this planet, or do you think that these are alien Bigfoots that are like can move around through bushes and trees and all types of solid things because they're not actually made up of the same matter that we are? What do you
think? here's my understanding of it is that I think it's like all the above, because there is one that was you know, grew here naturally, basically as part of the human experience, and they're finding a lot of human DNA when they've done the DNA tests on it. It's more human, you know, than ape. From my own experiences, telepathically tuning into them, they're very, very sensitive. They're very spiritual. They're very high in the nature kingdom, basically. And then there's one that didn't really evolve, that's a little more aggressive, and most of those have been taken out. And then there's also one that I think is an android, that because we found hair that was about 3 feet long, and this whole area is known for Bigfoot. This is the most research is done right on the west side of Mount Adams over in Skamania. There's so many sightings there, it's crazy. But we had this hair analyzed, and it was 3 to 4 feet long. It was perfectly hollow. It had trace minerals in it, and it was grown. It wasn't, and we had a fiber specialist look at it and a forensic guy. They both looked, and they go, we don't know what this is. We can't create this here on the planet, and we have no, and it was crushed like it fell from a very high level or got hit by something, kind of a solid object hit it that, And so they could not identify it, and they couldn't. And so I think there's something like it's kind of either like an android type of thing. It might be something similar to that. That they use to keep people when they're doing work in sensitive areas. It's like a guard dog basically that they have. Mm-hmm. So there seems to be more than one element to it. But these other ones can definitely shapeshift and appear and disappear, and I've watched them. I was watched the female 50 feet away walk right in front of me and disappear as I was looking at her, and she was, the only reason I saw her, she was really distraught because she had lost her daughter. She got separated from her daughter, and she was very upset, and
How do you know who's a daughter and who's a son? Like, how would you know the genetics? I don't understand.
There's a longer story here, but I was living with the guy who is named Tom Dongo, who is probably one of the original remote viewers from a long time ago, and very good. And I told him my side of the story, and then he told me before I even told him anything about it, he says, oh, you had an encounter with Bigfoot. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. I go, how'd you know that? Nobody was around. There was nobody. And then he told me, he goes, it was a female, and the only reason you got so close to her is because she's very distraught. And she was moaning, really, sounded really sad, like she was hurt or something. And that's why I walked up to her, see if I could help her. And I said, well, why was she so upset? And he said, because she lost her daughter. And I said, well, where's her daughter? And they said, her daughter's with the others. And he was remote viewing it. And actually,
he was
John
remote viewing, you're saying?
John
hearing Vavanka, this remote view thing, because people were telling me that I remote view.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
it's very similar.
What's that?
It's very similar. I took a remote viewing class and just nailed it. I nailed it. And it blew me away, because I was already doing it naturally, and I didn't really know what it was. You know?
Yeah, I don't do remote viewing, because, I mean, people were saying, you know, this is remote viewing, but then when I actually realized, it's actually not. Like, what I do is very different. Like, when I go into an investigation of an unsolved homicide, for instance, or a missing persons case, I didn't know how to explain what I was doing, but what happens is throughout the reading, Spirit will say, look, or see, and all of a sudden I'm in that space. So I'm in, you know, like I may be talking to them, and then all of a sudden I'm like on the third floor of an apartment building, and I can see what's going on, and, you know, what color the carpet is, how the house is set up, you know. And I'm like, okay, now let's take a right. There's a dresser over here. Open the top drawer. You're going to find X, Y, and Z. And, you know, go out to the balcony off of the kitchen right here, and if you look over into the parking lot, you know, I can give them direction. Go to that store over there. You're going to, you know, this is what it looks like. And, you know, you're going to find a video camera over here. We want evidence from that video camera from that night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can remote view. Well, I don't know if that's what it's called, but that's what I do. It's very specific. And that's how I'm able to help bring resolution and find people and help to solve cold cases.
It's very similar. Believe it or not, it's very similar.
I think it's actually very different, because they say what I'm doing is way more extreme than remote viewing.
No, it is. It is. But what I'm saying is that the really good remote viewers are doing what you're doing.
Okay. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be able to validate that. But
yeah,
I just know what I do, because I work with only myself.
Yeah. Well, here's a good example.
It's interesting.
One of the things we remote viewed was Lincoln's death, you know, the assassination of Lincoln. They just give you a number. They don't give you anything. And so you have to remote view this thing. And so what happened is I saw the theater. I saw a black hat. You know, it was weird. I saw a black cat, too, along with a black hat. And then I felt this pain in my head, like, oh, man, that hurt. And then I saw the balcony, and I saw the energy go off of that affected the whole world. It was like, it was pretty interesting, but all the sensations were there.
So that's
as if
kind
it
of just like connecting to the everything. Like, you're kind of tapping into the information that's around.
Yeah, but you're
but
feeling
what I'm talking
it,
about is like
everything.
Going, what's that?
You're sensing, you're seeing it, you're feeling it, you're feeling the whole thing. But now, but most of them don't do that to that depth. You know, there's some that do. But
that is really cool that you got that. I'm sitting here thinking about it, and I'm going, okay, so I know what you're talking about, because you're kind of tapping into the overall, like the information highway, if you will.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is I'm focusing like tunnel vision to an area, and I'm there. And even in real time, like when people are missing, like that's how I'm able to find them alive and stuff, even in like areas that are like rough terrain and like organic matter and stuff, is because they'll give me, I can identify specific sections and areas out of there, and I can follow pathways and follow, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
very different what I'm doing. And that's why I've been told to kind of stop saying that it's remote viewing, because it's very different, because they're two different processes. But it is really cool what you're talking about. That would be more like psychic stuff, I would think. Like, like, because you're kind of tapping into all of, like, the information out there by just being given one word or one focal point, and then you're kind of putting up your antenna, and you're kind of writing down information that you're getting that's in relation, right?
Well, it's more than that. Yeah, it's okay. More than that. But with me, I went through the protocols and everything else, but yeah. I was there. I mean, I was there. I was feeling everything that happened there. I even felt the shot to the head and the whole nine yards. I don't like doing that. That's not what I usually do, but I took this course to check it out. And, but it's the work I do is usually different than that, but it wasn't, sure. I mean, I felt the head shot and that wasn't fun. That was.
But did you know what you were feeling until they told you? Before they told you, did you know that you were? Did you see who was being shot, and did you know that that's what you were feeling, or did you just feel the pressure in your head?
Well, I felt extreme pain in my head. I didn't have exact details, but
that's what I'm talking about. So
yeah,
that's the difference.
I saw
like
theater.
You're tapping into the overall. And so it's like you might get some of the information, but you're not going to get it clearly, and you're not going to be able to guide them through exactly what happened with detail and evidence. You're going to get some of the symptoms. You're going to get maybe like the black cat, like you said, like certain things will download. So certain fragments of like the overall information in the universe will download. But it's like that we're talking about two different things. That's all I'm saying. Because talking about being guided through an entire situation, like bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean? So this was taken. I was wearing khaki pants, and then, you know what I'm saying? And the gun is three inches from my hand. I'm a right-handed person, but this is on my left side. Why would that be? You know what I'm saying? Et cetera, et cetera. It's just very different. It's very specific. It's just different. It's just different. So
yeah, I think
some of the things that I do, there's no words for it yet. What's that?
I think everybody has experiences all these different techniques differently. That's the only way I can explain is because, I mean, I would see things. As you don't talk about my grandfather, he was dying of cancer, and he actually decided to end it. I guess it doesn't matter now. But he had cancer throughout his whole jaw and was dying, and he picked this gun up and he shot himself in the head. Well, I'm a little kid, and I'm walking into my parents' room. I said, you know, Grandpa shot himself. He shot himself in the head, you know. Mm-hmm. And I saw the pistol and everything, you know, really clearly, and freaked my parents out because, you know, I wasn't supposed to know that, you know. So I've had those abilities.
Those experiences, sure.
Yeah.
And I think children pick up on stuff so clearly. Like, you know, a lot of times it shuts down at a certain point. You know what I mean? Like, we're so much more open as children. I know what I saw as a child was much different than the way that I see today. I see in a different way. Like, I saw, you know, I was born in an old Victorian home. And growing up there, you know, was pretty wild because it was a very active home. And, you know, as a child, so many people had experiences in my childhood home. It was erected in the 1800s. It had, you know, there were people who died in it. But we didn't know any of the history living there. I just knew this is my home. I was actually born inside of it upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I had this deep connection to this home, and I still do. Every time I go past it, I'm like, oh, my home. You know what I mean? It's home.
Yeah.
But it's one of those homes that gives you a hug, but it also scares the crap out of you because there's so many times that I would see stuff. I saw a little girl there once when I was 8. She was floating in the hallway, and I woke up. I had crawled into my mom's bed, and I woke up and sat up and looked out into the hallway, and there she was. She looked like she was on Little House on the Prairie. I mean, she had on these old-fashioned clothes, a blue dress with, you know, something white over it and the lace and a basket. She had this long hair, and it kind of curled. And anyways, I could explain her all day. And she looked at me, and she looked as shocked as I was to be, you know, to be seeing me as I was to see her.
Yeah.
And then I tried screaming, and nothing came out of my mouth. And she went zipping back down the hallway and into the sewing room, which I was terrified of the sewing room because it led to the attic. And anyway, but that was one of the incidences. And there was another time when I was sick, when I was about 15, with strep. And there was three women in my room, and they just kept talking. You guys, I was so sick. All I wanted was water. I had this high fever, and I, you know, you're thinking, well, I'm tripping. I'm hallucinating because of this fever. But, you know, I'm laying there, and these women are standing in my room. They've got these old-fashioned buns like teachers, you know, and they look kind of serious. They're very serious looking. And they're talking, and I literally, they were getting so loud that I sat up, and I'm like, can you please keep it down? I'm trying to sleep. I'm sick. And I'm sitting here talking to people who no one else could see, you know. And yeah. I lay back down. We had so many stories from this home, not just me, but like myself and, you know, my family and our friends and just so many people. And this house is very active. Yeah. And it wasn't until I rented that house at age 25 when I had my son and I rented that house because my family still owned it. And I started being the caregiver of an elderly woman a couple doors down who had been there my whole life. You know, she used to give us raspberries from her backyard. So I got to talking to her one day, and I'm asking her, hey, so is your house really active too? And she says, oh, yeah. So we get to talking about these stories from, you know, when I was little in her house and everything. And I share with her my experiences, and that's when she validates all of the people that I've seen in that house. And I'm going, are you kidding me? She's like, oh, yeah, these two are teachers and, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's telling me the history of what I saw as a child, the stories that I've been telling everyone my whole life. You know, she confirmed. And it was a great feeling. Yeah.
Do you know,
those people were physically in front of me. What's that?
Do you ever think that with me, I had a couple near-death experiences, blew me wide open, but what I felt like is I had all that as a child, and then I had it kind of beaten out of me through social consciousness in school and things like that. And then the near-death experience reactivated that.
And that's exactly what happened to me. So, and I've kind of stated the same thing in other interviews. It's like I had like probably a 10-year span almost, like nearly 10 years, where it was just quiet. You know, once I moved from that house, I moved back there at 25, had a lot of experiences there again. And then I left there and it was just quiet. So it was all that house. It was all in the home, you know.
Yeah.
But then when I had the NDE, you know, with the meningitis, yeah, it blew my mind. I mean, it just blew everything open, you know, 100-folds. And, you know, now I'm called the trifecta. A lot of people are calling me the trifecta because I, you know, excel in three areas. I'm the evidential medium. I find missing people, work on cold cases, and I'm medical medium. And I work with five doctors and spirit on the other side. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing, the confirmations and the information and the lives saved, you know, that's happened since I came back. It's, their work is incredible. I don't take credit for it, but, yeah, it's insanely accurate.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It was
best thing, just get out of the way. That's why I always try. Everybody goes, I always tell them, I'm really good at getting out of the way. You know, it's like,
yeah, right?
And that's
you've got to be.
Yeah.
Part of it. Does my phone sound funny? You're starting to sound kind of like you're underwater.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're having a windstorm. We're having a big windstorm. I have the same thing with electronics, too. Electronics go crazy, and street lights go out, all that stuff. You know, I blew up a lot of equipment. I'm learning more to ground so it doesn't happen. But it looks like we've only got like about 1 minute left.
Oops, so. you're breaking up. I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay. It's good at the producer side. So we've got about 1 minute left. What's the best way for people to get in contact with you to find out more about the work you do?
Well, I have a website. It's at www.thenextworldmedium.com. So that would be the best way to get in touch with me. Got my phone number on there, and then email is the best. Okay. Either way, doesn't matter. However anybody's comfortable.
All right. Hey, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I know we just scratched the surface of what's going on, and probably have to have you back on again to talk more about this. But anyway, yeah, keep up the great work that you're doing there, and hopefully maybe we can get you out here sometime. We do a lot of workshops and conferences.
That would be fun. I want to sleep under the stars and see some UFOs and Bigfoot. I want to see Bigfoot. Like, what's up?
I can
How come I never get those experiences?
Well, this place.
I'm gonna come hang out with you.
Yeah, it's a vortex here. The energy's
for sure.
You know, it's like you're in between worlds here, and it's very easy to connect in through
awesome.
All of them.
Thank you so much for having me on, and it was really fun.
All right. All right. Well, have a great one, and thanks for coming on the show.
You too. All right,
bye. All right, we got to sign off, folks, unfortunately. It's James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. You know, keep open mind, loving heart, and pure intentions. That's all we need to do. Good night.